fellowship, and we maybe you want to go back to your home church or where you grew up, wherever you want to go. We'll get with that pastor and let that pastor know that brother or sister so-and-so, they've come and received Christ as Savior, amen, as their Savior. They've come and dedicated their life, but they want to come back home. It won't hurt our feelings because we've done what Christ wants us to do. Maybe you're just in need of prayer, something you're going through and you've been praying about it, but you just need somebody to help you. You need somebody to pray with you. Amen. This is your time. God is able. Remember, be careful how you be. Amen.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting. All day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
I'm being overlooked. I got this anointing. I'm on fire for the Lord. Why are they not inviting me? Why are they not calling me? How come I haven't found a church to pastor? I thought you called me. I said to you, it's because God is hiding you. When God is really going to use you, he will hide you. Because if the devil knows, he will try to destroy you. So I don't know about you. You ought to thank God that he hides you. I say you ought to thank God that he's hiding you. Sometimes it will hide you until you grow up. Sometimes it will hide you until you are strong. Sometimes it will hide you until you are ready. One scripture say, he that dwelleth in this. Have you ever thought about why it is a secret place? Touch somebody next to you and say, he hid me. You see, the devil was trying to kill me, but he hid me. The devil was trying to stop me, but he hid me. The devil was trying to destroy me, but he hid me. And many of you can be really practical and say, I almost lost my mind, but he hid me. I almost gave up on life, but he hid me. Who am I preaching to? You say, I almost lost my joy, but he hid me. I almost gave up. But God, open your mouth and shout amen. You know, sometimes he hides you because you have to grow up. He hides you because he's preparing you. He hired you until you learn how to really pray. Are you still here? Many of you here, you are anointed, but hidden. You are appointed, but hidden. You are set apart, but right now you're hidden. Are you still here this morning? That is why you got to learn to stand on the Word of God. And the Word of God said, they that wait. See, 23 years I served under various pastors. And many times I find myself I could do even better than the pastor that is over me. But I got an understanding that you got to wait. There's something, he said, and while you're waiting, renew your soul, good God Almighty. If you're not heeding, let me tell you the danger. People will try to abort your mission. It's like you're pregnant with a miracle. And if you're not heeding, there are folks out there that will abort your miracle. And some people, they will rush you to your destination. It's a dangerous thing for you to be crowned before you are crossed. Are you still here? I'm trying to take my time to teach you then. I wish I have time to teach you. Philippians chapter 2, beginning from verse 9. He said, God has highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. But keep in mind, he was never exalted until he went to the cross. So I'm saying to you, it's dangerous for you, for anyone to put a crown on you. And you've never been to the cross. It is the cross. I finally get to my topic. It is the cross that prepares you for the crown. Many of you be wondering, how can pastor just say this and everybody move without you being on the cross first? You will never have a crown. It never, I don't care what area. It doesn't have to be ministry. It can be business. It can be on your job. You see, when you have been to the cross, then God can look at you and say, you're ready. That is why Jesus said, don't tell anybody. Not yet. I know you are God now that I'm Jesus the Christ. He said, but don't tell no one. Because real anointing don't have to be announced. Are you listening to me? You know, I am amazed how many of you will say, well, pastor, I'm in town. I just want you to know I can do this for you. And if you will invite me to come and speak, I'd never invite any of them. And you know something else? When I go places, I'd never carry my business card. If you can really sing, your gift will make room for you. I'm trying to help somebody now. See, I'm preaching to my pastors now because every now and then I take a detour to just minister to them. Real anointing don't have to be broadcasted. If you can really preach, somebody gonna discover you. I don't care if you are on the street corner preaching to winos and crackheads. That anointing will speak for you. Do you know what it means for your anointing? Let me bless you, musician. See, when I say your anointing will speak for you, people who are blessed through your ministry, those are your publicity. They're the one who's going to say, I was blind. Now I see. And thank God for the ministry of. You see how that thing works. People who are saved by your ministry, they're going to tell about it. People who are healed under your ministry, don't worry, one bit, they're going to tell the story. People, and guess what else? People who are hurt, they're going to tell it. That is why you got to take seriously whatever God has called you to do. So folks go around trying to say, well, pastor, I'm a healer. I'm a prophet. Shut up. You don't need that. If you're a prophet, we're going to find out. If you're an apostle, we're going to discover your gift will make room for you. Let me hurry up. Then Jesus said, not only do I not want you to tell nobody, he said, now I want to tell you something else. He said, you are listening to me. I must go to Jerusalem. And I must suffer. Now all of a sudden, all these disciples that are excited about being big shots, they say, what in the world, what you talking about? He said, you know why I call your attention to this? One ministry that is missing in the church today is the ministry of suffering. I'm trying to help you. We preach to you about healing. We preach to you about salvation. We preach to you about faith. We preach to you about prayer. We preach to you about prosperity. We preach all kinds of principles, but we don't preach suffering. But Jesus is saying, I must suffer. The same mistake we are making in our homes. Some of us, our children are messed up today because we never introduced them to suffering. You're listening to me. See, I could have been here today whooping and hollering, but the Holy Spirit said, take time to teach the word. Many of us, we give everything to our children that they need. We give them everything but suffering. We give them the best of school. We give them the best of education. But you never give them what really makes you great. If the truth were to be told, you are great today because you suffered. Somebody needs to preach it. Nike shoe is not what makes you great. Having the finest telephone and whistles and bells is not what makes you great. You are great today because you suffered. Sometimes you had little or no food to eat, but you keep going anyway. Sometimes you had no phone to talk, to call your mama, but you still go anyway. Sometimes you had no support, no finance, but yet you go after your dream. Why are you not teaching your children about that? Why are you not helping them? You set them up for failure. I was talking to one of my friends yesterday, and my friend said, you spoil your children. And I laughed. I said, you don't know my children. If you want to know about suffering 101, come to Dara House. It is suffering that will make you great. The prerequisite for greatness. A friend of mine called me one day and said, why are you not taking your kids to private school? And this is what everybody's doing. I'm sure you can afford it. I said, no, I want them to ride the school bus. I want them to go to public school. I want them to deal with the bullies of this world and deal with the monkeys of this world and deal with the... If you suffer a while... See, I'm doing family counseling already. The ministry of suffering. See, preachers, many of you want to pastor mega church. What have you suffered for the sake of Christ? Paul said, my body bears the mark. He said, many times I was beaten, shipwrecked. Snake bitten. He said, thrown out, stoned. What is in your resume as a child of God that this is the prize that qualifies you for the crown that you want on your head? I'm trying to help somebody. Parents, the best thing you can do for your children today, remove all those gadgets. Listen to me. I'm trying to help some of you because some of you have been calling me and texting me and writing me. I'm just telling you the bottom line. Remove all those. I know it don't sound American. Forget that. Amen. I pray Jesus. If you want to see them go up, pull all those whistles and bells. Every child is capable of learning. There's greatness in your child. The only question is whether you're going to push them into greatness or whether you're going to push them down into a life of mediocrity. Are you still here? You owe it to yourself to teach your children what really makes you great. How many of you, when you were in high school, you had a car? Let me see your hand. You see, look at the house. Probably less than 10. So why are you letting Julio run you crazy? That child don't need no car. Park your car. Put them on the bus. Yes, I said it. Somebody needs to say it. Ladies and gentlemen, suffering is the primary prerequisite for greatness. Amen. Jesus said, I must suffer. I got to go through suffering. Jesus said, I got to go through rejection. That's why you read later on the stone that the builder rejected. If you are not first rejected, how are you going to become the chief cornerstone? Are you all still here? Trying to help somebody. So don't shy. Don't spend your life sucking your thumb because you are rejected or because you are going through some hard time. The good news is that I'm so glad trouble don't last always. Amen, somebody. God is training you to be a soldier. And you cannot be a soldier unless you're willing to stay in the foxhole. You got to be able to deal with pain. You got to be able to deal with folks lying on you. You got to be able to deal with people mistreating you on the job. You got to be able to deal with loneliness. You got to be able to shout even in the midst of sickness. Why is getting you ready? Look at somebody and tell them, he's getting me ready. Yeah. See, so practical application. That thing that is hurting your feeling, God is using it to get you ready. Those folks that are rolling their eyes at you, God is using it to get you ready. All the pain that you endure right now, God is using it to get you ready. And after you suffer a while, can I be honest with you all? I was in Pioneer High School not too long ago trying to help those young people. I preach the same thing I'm preaching to you. I just look them in the face and say, you really want to be great? I say, I'm not preaching theories. I know. I said, you can check my record. I said, let me tell you, you got to be willing to pay the price. I've never met any great man or woman that didn't go through something. I never met any great man or woman in ministry. From Oral Roberts to Benny Hinn to Kenneth Hagin and Copeland, name it. They've been through the fire. They've been through the storm. And then the Bible says, after you suffer a while, God will show up with a diploma and say, well done, well done. Good and faithful servant. You see, the problem with the church is that we don't want to suffer. See, that, you know why I know? That's why Peter said, when Jesus said, I'm going to suffer. You know what Peter said? He said, I rebuke you. You know what? That's why Jesus called him Satan. And every one of you that you left the choir because they talk about you. You quit coming to church because somebody rolled their eyes. I really don't want to call you Satan, but I will say grow up. Well, they hurt my feeling. Pastor, they hurt my feeling. I am so glad they hurt your feeling. You know, I was lying to you when I said, let's pray. Pray about what? Suck it up and grow up. You better be glad somebody's talking about you. You better be glad somebody dislikes you. You better be glad somebody's irritated. But after you suffer a while, so, in this church, we don't need easy boy religion. We need to grow up. Tell somebody next to you, say, grow up. In case you need Bible for that, that's what the scripture say, glory in tribulation is in your Bible. Mature Christian. It's what we need. And you know how you know when you are matured? Let me give you a little secret. I'm just taking a side journey now. And I need to hurry up. Oh, Lord Jesus. You see, you know when you're matured? It's when you get to a point, people talking about you don't bother you anymore. You know when you're mature? When you walk in, people roll the eyes and they got an attitude and it really don't even bother you anymore. Because you've been through the storm, you've seen the lightning flashing, you heard the thunder roar. In the midst of all that, you still hear the voice of Jesus telling you to still march on. Because he promised never to leave you alone. Are you still here? So let me say this. Jesus said, if you really want to be great, this is what's going to take. He said, if any man will come after me. That's right, Pastor. Say, deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. In other words, he's saying, come after my step. Stand up, Brother Deacon. You see, Brother Stephen, you stand right behind me here. See, this is what Jesus is saying. You stand right behind him. He said, every step I take, you take the same step. See, that's what it means to follow Jesus. And guess what? He went to the cross. And let me tell you something. The more you follow him, the harder it gets to step sometimes. But let me tell you, somebody shout good news. You know what the good news is? If he stepped you into it, he will step you out of it. He said, the step of a good man are ordered by the Lord. He delights, he will lead you into it. David said, he leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. In conclusion, I got to preach this. You see, when he was stepping in front of them, you know where he stepped into? The cross. And he told them, he said, if they hate me, they're going to hate you. He died on the cross. Guess what happens to Peter? He died on the cross. You can pick any of those followers. Mark was, oh Jesus. He was tied to a mule and they dragged him on the street of Alexandria, Egypt until his skin was, oh Jesus. Some of them are thrown in the fire. And here you are getting an attitude because somebody forget to mention your name. Paul, Apostle Paul, not only was he crucified, they cut his neck. Do you know, like a chicken? This is serious stuff. What am I trying to tell you? And you know what? I wish I had more time. When they hang him on the cross, the Bible said, they have to break the leg of the one thief. They break the leg of the other thief. You know why? Let me take you to Africa a few minutes. See, when you don't hang people here in America, I'm proud of you. But we are not completely delivering my neck of the wood. We will hang you. Jesus. That's another topic for another day. You see, when you're hanging on the cross, if you still have your leg, you can pull up. And when you push up, then you can delay the death and get some hair. That is why they have to break your neck. But you know why is it that they never had to break Jesus' leg? Because he submits. The problem with many of you that is hindering your progress, one word, submission. It contradicts everything America stands for. But submission is a virtue. Submission will promote you. Submission, that means your mission under somebody else. It's not that you don't have a mission. You have a mission of your own, but because of what you know or because of what God told you, you put your own mission, just like submarine, sub, under. He submit his will. He said, not my will. See, I wish I can talk about marriage 101. I wish I can talk about relationship 101. I don't have enough time. But I'm encouraging you this morning, submit to your cross. Can I be real with you this morning? Every one of you here, you have a cross. The Baptists got it right. They said, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? No! There's a cross for everyone. And there's a cross for me. Say with conviction, say there's a cross for me. Don't say if you don't believe it. Say there is a cross for me. Well, let me tell you, I got only 5 minutes to break it down. The cross for you is anything that God is using you to break your will. The cross is anything that God is using to kill your flesh. The cross is everything that God is using to humble you from all those pride. Your cross is not a wooden cross. It may be your husband who don't appreciate you. Always comparing you with other women. It may be your wife who don't understand you. Always all the time. You never did anything right. It's getting mighty quiet in here today. Some of you parents, your cross may be your child. You invest all your life, all your energy. You spend everything, and he broke your heart. Your cross may be financed. Some of you here, you are anointed. Hey, when it comes to healing, you can pray for healing and get it. When it comes to blessing, you have anointing in so many areas, but financially you're broke and you pray and pray, nothing is moving. That may be the cross. Your cross is anything that you prayed about. From the name of Jesus, it is the will of God that angels of blessings will be dispatched in your life. So I speak favor in your life. Open your mouth, shout amen. Amen. Favor is coming in the name of Jesus. Receive it right now. I speak increase in this house. Yes, I said it. I was talking to one of my deacons. I won't tell you his name. Willie Brown. Bless God. He shared with me, Reverend, I got me a truck. He said, Pastor, I really don't care about it. You know, he's a mechanic. He knows he had an old truck. If it breaks down, he can fix it. So he said, having a new thing is not really big deal to me. But he said, my wife said, the preacher has been saying that everyone who has an old truck, everyone who has an old car, that God will open door that you get a new one. Open your mouth, shout amen. That's right. Ain't nothing wrong to wear a new dress. Ain't nothing wrong to have a new house. Ain't nothing wrong to have a new truck. I'm so glad all my deacons got new trucks. Open your mouth, shout amen. That's the will of God. Ain't no shame in my game. I'm bound for my promised land. Amen. The will of God is that you know how to make money, that you know how to manage money, that you know how to multiply. Amen. See, some people know how to make money, but they don't know how to manage money. Some people know how to manage money, but they don't know how to make money. And some people know how to make money and manage money, but they don't know how to multiply money. I speak for a double-fold anointing of real wealth in your life. If you can't handle it, I pray it will come upon your children and your children's children. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth, shout amen, shout amen, shout. Get louder, shout amen, get louder, shout amen. Ain't no shame in my game, shout it, amen. Shout for your children, shout for your children's children, shout for your church, shout for your community, shout for your parents, shout for your faith, amen. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. The Bible says when this man encountered Jesus, he was delivered. And the reason why I ask us to shout, some of us need to be delivered from a spirit of poverty. It's a spirit. Some of us need to be delivered from a spirit of sickness. Some people really enjoy just going to the doctor. Some of them go to the doctor when they have no appointment. It's a spirit. And for everybody that is sick because of the oppression of the devil, I cancel out the assignment of the enemy concerning your health in the name of Jesus. Deliverance is a type of change that God offered. This man encountered Jesus and he was completely delivered. You know why he was delivered? Because the Bible said Jesus is the way and Jesus is the truth. Did you understand that? You understand, for Jesus to be the way, like when you get lost, you want to know the way? Jesus is the way. And if you're like me, you done make some wrong turn and you end up in the wrong neighborhood of life, Jesus is also the way out of no way. Are you all still here? Not only is he the way, the Bible says he's also the truth. John chapter 8, verse 32, put it this way. He said, let me tell you about the truth. When you know the truth, guess what the truth will do? It will set you free. It will make you free. See, that's deliverance. When you encounter Jesus, the truth, and you're delivered, you're set free. It makes you free. That's deliverance. If you want deliverance in any area of your life this morning, open your mouth, shout amen. Amen. So the reason why I ask you to shout amen is because you are making an announcement to every destiny killers. Folks who have spiritual casket made for you. You are saying in so many worlds, I am breaking this chain in the name of Jesus. I am coming out of Egypt in the name of Jesus. Sickness and disease shall no longer be my portion in the name of Jesus. If that applied to you, open your mouth, shout amen again. Ladies and gentlemen, the book of Psalms 24, verse 7 through 9 says something about this Jesus. Because you might be saying, how can encounter with Jesus do all these things? The Bible describes Jesus. They say, he talks about, lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting door, and the King of glory shall come in. Then the question was asked, who is this King of glory? You need to know that he is the Lord, strong and mighty. You need to know he is mighty in battle. So I don't care who's trying to fight you. I don't care who's trying to get in your way. I don't care who's trying to mess you up, because God is on your side. You need to know this battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord. He will level the playing field. He will make your enemy leave you alone. He will prepare a table before you right in their face. Somebody shout deliverance. There is somebody here today who will go home victorious. I hear the Lord say, you've been hearing voices. See, the scientists call that hallucination. You're hearing people talk to you when there's no one talking. But today, we're not just taking communion. This is a healing Sunday. I'm declaring as a man of God, deliverance shall be your portion today in the name of Jesus. You can take it to the bank. That man was set free. He was clothed in his right mind. In Jesus' name. Are you all still here? The Bible said the second thing that happens to him, and it will happen to you. There was a change of dress. Are you all still here? Up until then, this guy had no clothes on. The Bible says he was walking around naked. Am I still in the book? But when people came to check him out, Let the record show. You see, I'm a lawyer. I deal in evidence. The Bible says when the people came, eyewitnesses, they saw him sitting down, clothed. I'm believing God for somebody here today that God will change your garment. You've been walking around in filthy garments, but I pray that God will change your garments, that God will change your clothes. You say, Brother Pastor, why is that important? Isaiah chapter 61, verse 1 through verse 3, the Bible says God will give you a garment of praise for a spirit of heaviness. So when I say God will change your garment, you are coming to church, everybody's shouting, everybody's praising God, everybody has something to praise God for. People have a new home, they praise God, they shout all over the church. Amen. This house is full of testimony. Just this weekend, one of my pastors, I won't tell you his name, he said, Brother Pastor, get ready to dedicate my new home. Destin Harris, yes. You all see here? Amen. I was minding my own business. One day, one of my preachers called me. He said, Brother Pastor, he said, you won't believe it. I said, what's the story? He said, I got me a new car. She even sent me a picture of the car. So I'm not just running my mouth. I won't tell you her name. I'll tell you this much. She's a prophetess. Mm-hmm. I'm not just running my mouth. You cannot hang around this kind of anointing and not be blessed. Folks walking around, you ever seen sisters praising God? They start out shaking their booty. After a while, they flip their ring. God will give you a ring if you believe in God for marriage today. Open your mouth, shout amen. Ain't no shame in my game. Well, I don't want to shout amen because I don't want all the guys to know I'm looking for husband. Yes, you are. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't no shame in my game. I'm going to believe God for more of his glory, more of his power, more of his blessing, more of his miracles. Somebody shout more. When this man encountered Jesus, everything that has been giving him sorrow, everything that has been giving him pain, everything that has been giving him chaos disappeared. Before, he was walking naked. Like folks on Bourbon Street. Mm-hmm. Somebody needs to preach it. How are you going to be walking around naked? Don't turn me off! But God has a way of clothing you. Amen. Amen. Anybody that is naked today, in the natural, in the spirit, I pray that God will clothe you. Open your mouth, shout amen. Amen. You say, why is this important? You remember in the book of Mark, chapter 10, beginning from verse 46, the old man, the blind Bartimaeus, when he encountered Jesus, when Jesus sent for him, did you know the first thing he did? He took off his clothes and threw it away. He understood what I'm trying to tell you that some of you have not caught on to. You're walking around clothed, but your garment is filthy. It needs to be changed. And not just in the natural, in the spirit. Some of us here, the only garment of spirituality we got is religion. God needs to change your garment And you need to have enough wisdom when you have an encounter with Jesus. Throw away that garment. You know why that blind Bartimaeus threw the garment away? Because he knew he won't need these filthy garments no more. The second thing that happens to him, his clothes was changed. Today I prophesy to someone, every garment of sorrow in your life, every garment of shame, God will take it off of you today. Every garment of pain, every garment of sickness. People just stay sick because they're wearing the garment of sickness and they didn't know it. Every garment of failure, everything you touch, it ends up in failure. Everything you go after, it ends up in defeat. I pray that God will remove that garment today. Some people are working 2-3 jobs and they still have nothing to show for it. That's a garment of poverty. I pray that God will remove that garment. He said he will clothe you with a garment of praise for every spirit of heaviness in Jesus' name. Another area that God can change us and will change us today is that God can change your location. See, I'm a businessman. I know one thing about business. Location is very important. Location, location, location. See, before this man encountered Jesus, guess where he was living? In the grave. In the grave. See, there are no industries in the graveyard. There are no movie theaters, no shopping mall in the graveyard. Ladies and gentlemen, but when he encountered Jesus, when he met Jesus, that was his last day of dwelling in the tomb. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12 and 13 put it this way. He said the Lord Jesus Christ is in the business of translating us from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of pure light. Today I believe with all my heart, someone who has been dwelling in darkness, you're about to be translated into light in the name of Jesus. Not only in the spirit, but in the physical. Somebody's been dwelling in projects, and there's nothing wrong with it, but God has something better for you. I never regret one day that I was born in the jungles of Africa. Ain't no shame in my game, but the jungle is not in me. Right in the middle of the jungle, I built a mansion there. God will translate you. He can move you from where you are right now. Some of you, you are renting. God will make you an owner. You don't have to be a renter all your life. Yes, I've rented before. I've rented, and I enjoy my lease. But deep in my spirit, I can hear the sound of abundance of rain. I knew someday coming. I had a little push mower. I was a student. I can't get a job, so I created my own business. I had a lawnmower that I push around, and I would go to rich people home, and I'd be mowing the lawn, and as I clean their home, as I cut their grass, in my spirit, I'd be saying, someday I will have my own house. Right now, in the name of Jesus, if you are here under the sound of my voice and you're believing God for God to change your residence, for God to change your location, for God to promote you, the Bible says promotion don't come from east or west. Promotion don't come from north or south. If you're believing God for something better, if you're believing God, maybe you have one house and you're believing God for a second house, a third house, I fought. Ain't nothing wrong to be blessed. Open your mouth, shout hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. What am I trying to tell you? Your life is about to change. Your circumstance is about to change. Your situation is about to change. Your condition is about to change. We don't serve a dead God. He's the same yesterday. He's the same today. He will always be the same. If he can do it for somebody, he can do it for you. Number four area that God wants to change you. Not only did this man God delivered of every hindrance in his life, not only did God clothe him, he moved from nakedness to being clothed. Then thirdly, not only did God change his residence from dwelling in the grave, now he's now home with his family. Good God Almighty. Some of you are here under the sound of my voice. You are living, but you are not with your family. You can only hear their voice. The devil has separated you. Some children grow up, they don't even know who their daddy is. The Bible is real. The Bible is practical. God has a way of removing you from the pit of hell and get you back home with your family. I'm preaching to my own self today. Another area of change. God can change your company. Hallelujah. Before he encountered Jesus Christ, he used to keep company with the dead. Are you still here? What I'm doing is just piecing apart the Bible so that you can see the big picture. You can see the real deal. Before he met Jesus, look at his association. Look at his company. He was hanging around ghosts. He was hanging around dead people. But when he met Jesus, the Bible put it this way in the book of Proverbs, chapter 21, verse 16. Believe it or not, these are real information that you and I need to live in. He said, "He that wandereth away from understanding." Guess what they're going to be dwelling? They will be hanging out in the congregation of the dead. One of the things that sets this church apart, I told you for 17 years, this is not a place where I summon and moon dancing and hoop and hollow and throw handkerchief and catch it with my mouth. I don't have time for all those foolishness. I really don't. What I'm offering you is an understanding. And the Bible says anyone that lack understanding, guess where they dwell? They dwell in the congregation of dead. And let me tell you, let me be blunt with you. There are many people who are going to church, but the entire congregation is dead. Hey, don't turn me off. Congregation of the dead. Singing Kumbaya. Every Sunday, going through the emotion, having a form of godliness, denying the power of God, you can see change in the life of the congregation. It takes understanding. The Bible says, in all of that getting, get understanding. I'm believing God today, before this worship experience is over, I pray for a spirit of understanding in your life, in the name of Jesus. Why do we need to understand God? The book of 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 8 says, "Our God can take someone from the dunghill and make him to be seated among princes." Did you hear what I'm talking about? That's why we got to get understanding.
The Bible says promotion don't come from east or west. It comes from God. We need to understand God. The Bible says God can take somebody from lowly place and exalt him. You watch him do it for David. He can do it for you. You watch him do it for Esther. She was a nobody. God can do it for you. God is about to promote you. God is about to lift you up. Open your mouth, shout amen. You know why I said we need to have an encounter with Jesus? I only have 2 more minutes to tell you this. You need to know that Jesus Christ is a carrier of the Holy Ghost. Are you still here? What did I call him? The carrier of the Holy Ghost. You also need to know that the Holy Ghost is the wind. And the wind is blowing this morning. So these things I'm talking about, you can experience it in your life. I'm into flying. I understand wind. See, aeroplane, Pastor Shirley. See, when aeroplane, the reason when it's time for us to take off, after we've done our pre-flight procedure, when it's time, when you push that turtle and we pick up speed on the ground, you know why we speed on the ground? So that we can allow the wind to gather. It is the wind that will push that aeroplane up. You cannot go anywhere in life without the wind of the Holy Ghost. And nobody can pastor a church or run a business or build a home except the Lord build the house. Everyone that labors, labors in vain. So get to know Jesus. Get to know the Holy Ghost. Your life will never be the same again. Let me say this in closing because my time is up. I have 1 minute to say this. God also changed this man's destiny. Did you understand what I mean? Ladies and gentlemen, you see, the Bible said that he was living in the tomb. That tells me as a theologian that when God created him, God intended for him to be an evangelist. How do I know that? Because as soon as he was delivered, God sent him, said, you don't need to be playing religion. Go home and evangelize your neighborhood. And the Bible said he went to the city of Decapolis and got many people saved. You see, let me tell you about how the devil played trick on us. He was from get-go created to be an evangelist. But the devil comes and pile up demons on him to block him from fulfilling his destiny. And there are many of you under the sound of my voice. I hear the Lord say, Jeremiah 29, verse 11, say, I know the plan that I have concerning you. That plan is good. I've called you out to be original. You are a world changer. You are a history maker. I call you from get-go to change your neighborhood, to change your world. You are a powerhouse. You are anointed. You are destined for greatness. But somewhere along the way, the devil will come to block you. Before you realize it, you see a very active preacher. Now he's a crackhead. Before you realize it, a young woman that is destined for greatness, just some loose cannon, got her pregnant and ran away. You are still here? The devil has a way of trying to throw stone in the path of your destiny. But when this man met Jesus, the day he met Jesus, all of a sudden, his destiny was restored. And Joel chapter 2, verse 25 says, the day will come when God will restore everything that the locusts had eaten,
Everything that the canker worm has eaten, everything that the caterpillar has eaten, God, somebody shout restoration, restoration, restoration. I'm going to ask every one of you to stand. The day he met Jesus, things changed. Today, you also can meet Jesus.